Deuteronomy chapter 7. Did I tell you that already? Deuteronomy 7. All right, let's stand together. We'll read a few verses here. And then we'll be seated. Deuteronomy 7, let's start in verse 6. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. Now, he's talking to Israel here as they are in the wilderness, but they're about to enter into the promised land. But I believe that God's local church ought to be a holy people. I believe God, Christ died for the church. So I believe that the church is still a special people, and we are never going to be the most of people. And true Bible-believing, Bible-preaching churches are going to be very few in number as we see the day approaching of the Lord's return. But, verse 8, because the Lord loved you, because he would keep the oaths which he hath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to a thousand generations, and repayeth them that hate him to their face, to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth him. He will repay him to his face. All this pride, sodomy nonsense going on these days. Their day is coming. Their day is coming. I saw an article yesterday, Six Flags Over Texas during June is going to have drag shows every day, family-friendly drag shows in Gotham City, one of the places where some of the rides are. That is your Six Flags Over Texas. I don't believe I want much to do with many people in this world today anymore, the entertainers and the athletes. And it's what a wicked world this is, wicked country. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments, which I command thee this day to do them. Wherefore it shall come to pass, if ye hearken to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee thy covenant, the covenant and the mercy which he sware unto thy fathers. And he will love thee and bless thee and multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of thy womb and the fruit of thy land, thy corn and thy wine and thine oil, the increase of thy kin and the flocks of thy sheep in the land which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee. Thou shalt be blessed above all people. Now I want to use that to start today, and I just want to preach on forward by faith. And that's what our theme is going to be after next week. After we get through the 40th, we're going to kind of put that behind us, and we're just going to move forward as a church by faith, keep doing what God wants us to do. All right, let's pray. Lord, would you bless our time together in your word this morning, and help us to see as a church how important it is that we work through things and that we continue as a good Bible-believing, Bible-grounded church that will still be a good church for the next generation to come. Help us, Lord, to stay faithful to your word. We ask these things in your name. Amen. And you can be seated. Moses to the congregation of Israel in the book of Numbers. Remember, God disinherited Israel from going to the promised land. And he told them that you're going to wander in the wilderness for 40 years until the adult generation, their carcasses had fallen in the wilderness. Now, when you come to Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy is Moses' farewell letter. By the end of the book, Moses dies. And Joshua is the one that leads Israel into the promised land. So when we come to the book of Deuteronomy, we are now in the 40th year. At the end of the 40th year of Israel being in the wilderness. So the Bible says in Deuteronomy 1, let me just read it to you, and verse number 3, it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moses spake unto the children of Israel according unto all that the Lord had given him in commandment unto them. All right, now they are preparing now what they're doing in Deuteronomy. He's going to give them a few chapters of a quick history lesson, but now Moses is preparing them for what is ahead. And so when I thought about Deuteronomy and I thought about Israel and how there was a 40 year there since they left Egypt. Egypt certainly is a picture of the world, and Pharaoh, a picture of the devil, and that bondage is a picture of sin, and that leading them out is a picture of salvation. But it's been 40 years now. And when I think about the 40 years, I see a picture of the first 40 years of this church. Look at Deuteronomy chapter number 8. Deuteronomy chapter number 8. And again, Moses is just kind of reviewing with them kind of where God brought them from. Deuteronomy 8 and verse number 2. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. And so, certainly, even though they were in the wilderness, and that's not the picture I'm trying to draw as, you know, wilderness and wasting away. I believe the last 40 years have not been wasted at all. But what I do want you to see, just by way of introduction, that in those 40 years, what he just told them was that God always took care of you and God always met your needs. And I know for our church, God has always taken care of us. God has always met our needs. For those of you that are newer to our church, my dad started our church in 1983. The first church service was on June 5th of 1983. Today is June 4th. Tomorrow will be June 5th. That's also my parents' wedding anniversary. They will have been married 52 years tomorrow. My dad pastored this church from 1983 until November of 2000, and then went and took a church in Fort Worth, pastored there for 12 and a half years. He pastored for 30 years total. I was voted in as a pastor of this church in November of 2000, and I've been the pastor since December 3rd was my first day, December 3rd of 2000. So dad was pastor for 17 and a half years, and then the Lord's allowed me now to be pastor for 22 and a half years. Now, I can tell, my parents could tell you stories, of course. They are getting up there in age now, But I've been here pretty much since the beginning. Moved away for a few months to Arkansas after we got married. I was away at secular college for a while, but I was still in and out. I've never not been a member of Trinity Baptist Church, one of the charter members. So I could tell you all the stories of the church. So when I think back over 40 years, it's amazing how the 40 years really, to me, they really parallel life going through the first 40 years of life. I think back to the first 10 years of this church from 1983 to 1993. There are some in here that were a part of that church from 83 to 93. I know the Fanes were a part of that church back then. Brother Tommy was one of my first Sunday school teachers. And you may see some younger Fanes on the video next week, but they were a part of the church back then. Brother Glenn, Miss Darlene Anderson, they were a part of the church back then, because I know in 92, Brother Anderson was my youth pastor. And Miss Mason, I think, was a part of the church back then. Certainly had a connection with the church, with her parents. But I think about the first 10 years of the church, 83 to 93, you think about the first 10 years of a child, all right? The church was a young church back then. The church was a growing church. The church was an energetic church. And some of those years, those first 10 years, some of those years were hard years financially, especially in the beginning. You'll be amazed when you watch the video of what this place used to look like and what God's done during that time. But I remember, there are things I remember, and I'll not get into all of it this morning. We don't have time for it. God has allowed me to have a memory of some certain details. I do remember in April of 1983, my dad and myself and Shane, and I was 8 years old at the time. Shane would have been 10. Sean would have been 4, so he was home with mom. But we came in my dad's single cab truck to town. Dad was looking for a place to rent. We drove all over this town, couldn't find a place. And this is no lie. We were coming back down the bricks toward the monument, and right there across from Subway, where Subway is now, where Subway is, used to be a hardware store, and Mr. Hubbard used to own that hardware store. And we were just about to drive out of town, and I looked over my shoulder, and I said, "Dad, there's a for rent sign right there at 8 years old." And I just happened to be the one right before we left town that saw the for rent sign in that upstairs building. The door's still there when you drive downtown today. I remember doing that. I remember being in the car with mom and dad when they went to the post office and went through that little box outside is there, same place it's always been. Or it used to be, just barely around the corner. But I remember Dad having a box of 100 letters asking churches if they would support this young church. And you know how many churches, out of all the people he knew as a Bible college student and people that taught him, 2 churches supported this church in the beginning. Dad was never set on, "I'm going to keep a career and I'm going to have my 401k over here and I'm going to try to pastor the church on the side." He was never set on that. Dad wanted to be full-time pastor because it takes a lot of work to build a church that's healthy and stable and has activities and is moving forward. And I remember my dad working construction jobs on the side, doing whatever it took. I'm glad I had a dad that just did whatever it took to get things done. And he taught that to us as boys. But those first 10 years, they were good years. You know, you think about these little kids running around the church, and it just makes you happy to see the kids having a good time, but they don't know much. They don't have any money, and you know, it is what it is. And then I think about the teen years of this church, which would have been really the decade of 1993 to 2003. A lot of growth and maturity took place. But we also went through a really rough patch, and I know the details, from 1997 to 2002. Dad was pastor until 2000, and then, of course, 2001, 2002, that was on my watch. But from 97 to 2002, and so, you know, but when you think about that, that's just like a teenager trying to figure out who they are, trying to figure out where they're headed, trying to figure out what their identity is. Our church at times, under my dad's watch, as well as under my watch, was like teenagers bickering and arguing and getting jealous and wanting their way. And maybe you've been in a church like that before, but I'm telling you, it was rough for about 5 years. And we had people that would get up and walk out during the church service. We had people that would speak out during business meetings and cause troubles. Why I don't have public business meetings anymore. I think it's ridiculous. And it just, we're here for church. We're not here to fight and argue on what color a pew is or how a water bill was paid or whatever. But again, when I look back at that, I was a young adult at the time. When I look back at that, those were the teen years of the church. And that's what, you know what teenagers also are? They're broke. You know what our church was? Broke. And when Dad left this church was just a teenage church, if you think about it. Then I think about 2003 to 2013, the young adult years of this church. In 2003, things actually began to turn around a little bit. The church was back on the right path. We knew who we were. We knew where we were headed. We were a team. For the most part, we were on the same page. And amazingly enough, in 2013, we became debt-free. We had a lot of debt when I started as pastor. For the church we had, but when I started as pastor, we had about $250,000 in debt. And this is, I'm not knocking at anybody or anything. My dad sent me a letter after he went to Lakeland. He said, "Son, I wish I could have left it in better shape." Well, one man can only do so much. I can only do so much to have people be faithful and committed to this local church. Why do you think pastors are getting so easily discouraged these days? Because we live in a self-centered world where it's all about me first. And if I could fit the things of God in, I'll be there. And if not, you know, hey, it's just a sad state of the way things really always have been. But when I started as pastor, our general account had $235 in it. We were broken. It was no joke. But it was the teenage years of the church. Well, you guys in your 20s, I mean, you ought to start getting some things together. It takes a while, but you know, those early 20s, you begin to figure out who you are and where you're headed. And then the church in those years was getting back on the right path. And it's just the amazing thing, at 2013, we became debt free. I don't know many 30-year-olds that are debt free. But you could just see the church aging. You could just see that. And that's a wonderful thought. You look back and you think, man, we were so broke. Yeah, we were teenagers as a church. But it was set up to where God began to do. The foundation was laid. Thank God for the 80s and 90s. And the foundation that was laid. I always look at my relationship with my dad as David and Solomon. David did everything in his power to prepare for what Solomon got to come in and see, have some success at. And at 30, we were debt free at that time. So at 30 years old, as the church began to age, we were standing on our own two feet, and we were a strong and mature or maturing church. And then from 2013 to 2023, we went through our 30s. I would call that the later years of young adulthood. Seemed like we had some things together. We certainly have had some ups and downs, but we knew where we stood on the Word of God. We stood our ground on the Word of God. Our children were growing in the faith. God was proving Himself over and over again to us. Just like in our text we read a moment ago in Deuteronomy 7, God was faithful to care for the people of Israel. God has been faithful for 40 years to care for this church and provide for the needs of this church. God has been faithful to keep His word to the people of Israel. And God has been faithful to keep His word to the people of Trinity Baptist Church. He said, upon this rock I will build my church. And friend, listen, God has built a church. And we may not be several hundred people, but I believe we've got one of the most stable churches in America today, and we're still standing for the truth of the Word of God. And He said to also that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And friend, listen, the demons of hell have fought against this church in 40 years' time. If you only knew a portion of what you have to go through, the spiritual warfare to keep a church moving forward for God. But I'm glad the gates of hell have not prevailed against Trinity Baptist Church. I don't say that proud in a prideful way. I say that in a very grateful way to the Lord. Just as He told the children of Israel in our text, God has been faithful to handle our enemies over time. We're in a new world today, the last few years. It used to be the enemies just kind of said what they wanted to say around town. That's when I first started pastoring. I should get a plaque because I built two churches from 2000 to about 2005. I built this church and one out in the country there because people were leaving. And they called my parents. Oh, it's just like Trinity used to be. That's what one of them told my parents. We just hug each other out here. And that came to nothing over the years, because if it's of God, it's going to stand. If it's of man, it's going to come to nothing. But it used to be that's all it was, just the talk. And now we got all this online stuff. Now they'll take clips out of your message. They'll say what they want to say. But we think we're getting away with that stuff. But God's watching. God's been faithful, though, to handle our enemies over time. And then, just as we read there in Deuteronomy 7, as God always, He told him, He's blessed you, He's taken care of you. And if you'll be faithful to His word, He'll bless you in the new land. Hey, God has always been faithful to bless Trinity Baptist Church. And I could get up and tell you a story. And my wife could get up and tell you story after story. Brother Glenn could tell you story after story of way back in the days. My dad could get up, and if his memory allowed him, he could tell you story after story after story after story of the things that God has done for Trinity Baptist Church. And now we hit 40. How many of you in here are in your 40s? Raise your hand if you're in your 40s in here. I want to look around and see what the other old people are in here. You're in your 40s, okay? All right. All right. Yeah. Brother Brent, Brother Duncan, y'all slipped on over to the other side now, right? They're up in their early 50s. Now we're a middle-aged church. Where do we go from here? I tell you where we go from here. Our theme, like I said earlier, for the remainder of this service, for the remainder of this year, is forward by faith. David Livingstone, that great missionary to Africa, said, "I am prepared to go anywhere provided it be forward." If you have men who will only come if they know there is a good road, I don't want them. I want men who will come if there is no road at all. Now, I want to say to you this morning, I'm glad 40 years ago that my dad was willing to step out by faith where there was no visible road ahead and just trust God. How dare we decide to exit that road for sake of getting a bigger crown? I can tell you this, folks, if that's your mindset, that's not the crowd you want. If you'll appeal to my flesh, I'll come to your church. We're not here to appeal to people's flesh. We're here to let the Spirit of God work on our flesh and learn to crucify our flesh and do what God wants. 40 years after Israel left Egypt, God said, it's time to move forward by faith. It's time to get to the next level. It's time to enter the promised land. It's not time to slow down. It's time to fight for the land, is what he told them. And in our middle age now, it's amazing when I think about that, of the young years and the teenage years. And I became pastor and still the teenage years of the church and those young adult years and later young adult years. And now we're getting old. But I must warn us, let's not grow complacent. Let's not say, well, we've done enough. Let's not surrender to the world and the demands of a woke society. We still have a Bible to guide us. At 40 years old, you ought to have it together. I mean, you ought to kind of have it together if you're in your 40s. You ought to know where you stand. You ought to know why you stand. And as a church in our middle age, let's move forward by faith, continuing to serve the one who's been so faithful to us. Now, I want to make a public statement. I hate my older brother. Say, why do you hate your older brother? I don't really hate him. I just hate him with godly hate. He's 2 years older than me. So anything that breaks on him, here's what I hear from him. Just wait. Just wait. And when he hit 40, he would tell me, just wait. Now, I know that I'm not 60 and 70 and 80 years old. I get that. But there are some negatives that can happen after you hit 40. Things hurt that didn't hurt before after a good day's work. There are certain times of night you cannot eat certain kinds of food. I have to make a pit stop way more often when I'm traveling down the road. And of course, Josh and Sarah have a great time laughing at all of it. And may God bless them for the summer in Arkansas. But I want to use something just here for just a handful of minutes here to remind us of how we've got to work through some things as a middle age. Sorry to title it that, the middle age church. But if we're going to move forward by faith, one of the things that'll hit you after 40 is some vision loss. I was in my 40s before I had to get bifocal contacts, multifocal contacts. I had to go the other day and order my contacts, and I don't even know how all the terminology, but I go in there uptown here, and I said, I need to order. I said, you've got my prescription, and she's looking at it, and I could tell she's pausing. I said, you see two prescriptions there? She said, yes. I said, well, I wear the -3 for just day to day because I want to be able to see, but I said, then I use the -275, I think it is, and then the whatever the bifocal part is, but I said, that prescription I use, like I said, on Sundays and Wednesdays when I'm studying or preaching or whatever, and that way I don't have to wear my reading glasses. And so it's just crazy that you even have to go through all of that like that. Now, this is when I'm driving, and this is when I'm reading, and this is when I'm trying to sleep, and this is it, and it just, man, hey, it's y'all teenagers, you're gonna laugh at all the old people right now, because some of your parents are my age, and if they're not, they're getting there quickly. But as a church, if we're not careful, the older we get, we can suffer from vision loss also. And the Bible says in Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. At 48 years old and 22 and a half years of pastoring, I think pastoring ages you like the presidency. If you've ever seen those pictures of the presidents when they start and when they finish, and it's like, whoa. Yeah, that's me. Now, I sent that picture to my brothers yesterday of me 3 years ago when COVID started and me today. And that was a young man, me. Life hits you hard. But what I don't want, no matter how tired I am, I don't want to lose my vision for our church. I still have dreams for our church. I still have plans for our church. I can still see ahead what God can do. And so, folks, listen, yeah, when you get in your 40s, you suffer a little bit of vision loss, but let's not lose our vision of as a church, because if not, we become one of those dead country churches, us four and no more. No offense, but just a bunch of old people, no young people running around, no little kids running around, no energy, no laughter. I love the fact we have all age groups in our church. I think that's a sign of a healthy church, is all age groups in the church. Another thing that can happen as you get older is your taste begins to change. So I know with COVID, you know, people are like, oh yeah, it changed and it ain't coming back. But I'm talking about, you know, some things that you used to like, and all of a sudden you just don't like it anymore. It just doesn't taste the same to you anymore. If we're not careful as a church, we say, you know, I've been in this church a long time, and preacher's been here a long time, and, you know, I don't know if we got to have all that preaching anymore, and, you know, I don't know why we have to have Sunday school, and, you know, our taste will begin to change. But the Bible says we are always, now I'm adding these words, but we are always, and here's the scripture, to be as newborn babes. Desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. If so be you've tasted that the Lord is gracious. So in our older age here as a church, in our middle age, let's not let our taste change. Let's still enjoy Bible preaching and Bible teaching and godly singing and singing that lifts up Christ and not man, and singing that speaks to your spirit and not your flesh. Something else that can change as you get older. Huh? A little bit of hearing loss. And my kids will laugh at Miss Audie and I, because they'll say something and then I'll re-quote it and it's a totally different word. And Sarah will just look at Josh, and Josh will be like, bruh. And I said, what did you say? You know, then you blame it on something else. Well, if y'all turn that off, I'll be able to hear. Now I start to get a little bit of a hearing loss. And Miss Audie and I talk to each other, huh? Huh? One of the things I've feared for a long time is that if you hear the same voice preaching to you long enough, you get a little bit of hearing loss. In Hebrews 5, he said that he said, I want to help you some more, but you're dull of hearing. Let's not get so old as a church or so old as a member, or you've been here so long that we stop hearing from the Word of God. Aren't you glad it's a living book and there's always something fresh that we can get from the messages? Let's stop going to Sunday school class to see our friends, and that's great. That's a byproduct. But let's go to Sunday school class to hear from God. Let's not get to a place where we say, well, I've done this for so long, and that, you know, you go through the motions and you go to church, but when is the last time you heard from the Holy Spirit of God? Amen. Another thing that could happen in those Middle Ages, I don't even have to say it. You could see it. Weight gain. I used to be able to eat six of those Jack in the Box tacos at 5 o'clock in the morning on the way to Bible college. No harm, no foul. Now I drive by Jack in the Box and I sniff and gain a pound. And the Bible says that while we're running our race with patience, we have to lay aside every weight. We have to lay aside every weight. You know, the First Baptist Church in town here, and I like Brother Don Myers. He's always been a friend. He's a really nice guy. But that church over the last 40 years has split 1, 2, 3, at least into 3 different congregations. I'd hate to see that ever happen here. If I could just illustrate it in one way, the way it happens is we take on a lot of weight of jealousy, a lot of weight of, now I'm upset at that person, a lot of weight, well, we're tired of going to the church our parents go to. Well, everybody's always in our business. If we just had a fresh start, you better lay aside that weight, because you will uproot your family from something good. And you'll put them in somewhere and you won't realize what you've got till it's gone. What else happens in an aging church? How about some new aches and pains? I didn't go to a chiropractor until I was in my 40s. Now, some of you are in your 20s and you're already falling apart in your book, and I feel sorry for you. You're going to have a long life. And I'm not talking about mamas who've had babies. That just naturally makes you fall apart, I think, because it just, you had these little aliens and it just changes your body. But boy, in my 40s, man, I used to be able to work a day's work and go to bed and I was fine and get up and fine. And man, I'll hammer something for a couple hours. I'll get the next day and my hands are like, you know? And I'm constantly whining, like, Miss Audie, my knees hurt. And thank God I got a wife. And she's like, well, let me rub your knees. Like, okay. And she's like, my legs hurt. Would you rub my legs? I'd be like, marriage is give and take. She gives, I take. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the schisms that are don't want to have any schisms in the body. And man, something like in your 40s, my eye would be twitching. I'd be talking to people, my eye would be like, and I think they're going to think I'm winking at them. What is wrong with me? Why do I have this twitch all of a sudden? Just stuff shows up. You know why a lot of people are out of church today? Just stuff. Just stuff. There was a time you would have given me your eyes. Am I become your enemy? Because I'm still preaching the same truth I preached for 22 and a half years. Don't let stuff get you out of church. There can be some aches and pains. We're a church family. There can be some aches and pains. You work through it. Here's another one. I got to finish here, and I know that I'll finish in a couple minutes. By the way, I looked all these up, but I didn't have to look them up. I could have just wrote down the experience of the last 8.5 years. Vision loss, taste can change, hearing loss, weight gain, new aches and pains. Here's another one. They say brain fog. Brain fog. And we thought only teenage boys had that. Dude. Brain fog. That's forgetfulness. That's lack of concentration. Now, I live in the moment, so I don't try to be old. I'm not trying that. And I know it gets harder. I know it gets harder the older you get. And I'm not mocking that at all. I watched an old lady on Wednesday. I was pulling a trailer downtown, and I was in that line. Y'all know how downtown is now. It's stacked up for 3 blocks. I couldn't get out of the line. But I watched an old lady pull up to the curb right there. Right, she was 2 cars in front of me. She turned in. She was going to go into that UPS office there. Little old lady right there where that haunted mall is or used to be, that sign's there. And the lady was right there at the curb. And she went to, and I guess when she went to hit her brake, she hit her gas. And I watched this little old lady. She jumped the little concrete thing they put there. Then she jumped that big step up onto it, hit the pole, the Darkwoods Mall, hit the pole. And so I look, I cannot get out of line. Everybody's, and sadly, there's an old man, healthy, but an old man and another guy across the street. They look at her, get in their car and drive off. So I called the Willis Point police office and I told him, I said, and she's right there. I said, she's already out. She got out and took her package into the store. And went in, you know, I guess so. So I get it. I get it. The older that you get, but man, I'll get up and go do something. I'll be like, what was I going? Why did I walk in here? I don't have time, but if you want to go read something this afternoon, read Deuteronomy 8. When God says, all right, Israel, when I get you into that land after these 40 years and you're seeing the blessings of God, be careful that you do not forget. Let's not get brain fog as a church and think that Carl Ogden got us here, or Jeremy Ogden got us here, or our Sunday school teacher got us here, or we did this, and our family didn't. We! No, it's the grace of God. And then, this is so important. Something else that can happen in your 40s is a midlife crisis. A lack of happiness. Not too sure we're not seeing this happening in our church. Start questioning everything. Midlife crisis is defined as an emotional crisis of identity and self-confidence that can occur in middle age. Feeling bored, feeling unfulfilled, feelings of regret, making impulsive actions. I don't know if the King James Bible is the only, you know. I just don't get what's wrong with some contemporary music. I don't understand why in this day and age, we still have to have the dress standards we have. Well, I don't get why, you know, I watched Joel Osteen all week. I don't get why our preacher has to get up and spit and holler. You see the application there? See, midlife crisis can lead to divorce. They say one of the prime times for divorce is when kids move out. And I think it's husband and wife. All they ever knew was kids. Didn't really get to know each other. So now there's just not a whole lot going on. But if we're not careful, midlife crisis is, well, I don't know if I want to stay married. Well, I don't know if I want to keep that job. We start quitting jobs. Y'all following me? People go through this type of stuff. Let's not let that happen as a church where we say, you know what? You know, it's been 40 years. Can we put that behind us, Brother Trent? And maybe just kind of get a new identity and more love and more welcoming and more this. I saw a sign and all this homosexual stuff. God's going to deal with all that stuff one day. It's so in our face right now. Someone had a sign on the news that said, there is no hate like Christian love. They're going to keep on mocking us. We got a neighbor that threw a flag up in his backyard, which is the yard facing our gym where all of our kids are. And it's a rainbow flag. And he's not celebrating Noah and the flood. That stuff's going to keep on happening. What do we do? Give in? Think, oh, we might get five more people in the pew. Again, I'm telling you, if you have to compromise the truth and the teaching of the Word of God to get people in a pew, that's not the crowd you want to get in a pew. My challenge to us as we enter our 40s as a church is, let's work through the difficulties that come with age. Let's keep moving forward by faith for the cause of Christ. Think about this poem. It's a poem about life, but think about this poem as a church family. When as a child I laughed and wept, time crept. There was our 80s. When as a youth I waxed more bold, time strolled. There was our 90s. When I became a full grown man, time ran. That was the 2000s. When older still I daily grew, time flew. There was the 2010s. Soon I shall find, in passing on, time gone. And what I want to say to you this morning is one day the Lord is going to come back. Let's work through the battles of the 40s and let's stay faithful till time is gone. Let's stay faithful until the Lord returns. Revelation 2, he told the church there, be thou faithful unto death. You be faithful as an individual. You be faithful as a family. I hope we don't have many more years till the Lord comes back. But if we do, we have a video and I put together some stuff to be read. And I read a little bit about the history of the church and had Brother Trent do a little bit on the video. Then I had my dad come in and give kind of a closing thought. And on that thought was something like this. You know, as time moves forward, change is going to occur. It just, change happens in life. And he says, eventually, if the Lord tarries, it's coming, eventually a new pastor is going to come in and lead this church. He said, but you know what? God has been faithful to us, and God will continue to be faithful to us if we will be continue to be faithful to the truth of the Word of God. It doesn't matter who the pastor is. A pastor shouldn't pastor this church if he doesn't stand where we stand, where the Bible stands. So yeah, we're 40 now, and there can be some aches and pains, but let's move forward by faith, all right? Maybe you're here today, you don't know Jesus as your Savior. Has there ever been a time in your life where you realized that you were lost and needed to be saved? You realized that God sent His Son to die for you on the cross of Calvary? And you ask Him to save you, forgive you of your sins, if there's never been that time in your life, I would encourage you today to make this day the day that you come to know Christ as your personal Savior.